All right, good to have you here tonight. You know, I do rejoice in this. I believe I'm looking at people that believe in the power of prayer. And as we look ahead, you know, it doesn't take many. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. And that's what we need. We need the presence of Christ, and I rejoice in that here. Take your Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Looking forward to having Mike Schrock here 2 weeks from today. I remember the first time we had him, and I do know this. There have been people that have reminded me that we need to have Brother McCrack up. That guy is crazy. But we need to get him. We need to get him back here. He's booked out pretty good. But it's going to be great to have Brother Mike Schrock. By the way, I cannot remember. Somebody said this morning, they said, "Oh, Pastor, your voice sounds so much stronger." I don't know. I can't tell. I have it with me every day. But it was kind of funny. I didn't realize that, you know, in preaching recently, when I preach, I slow down somewhat and I'm talking like this. And a guy emailed us through Sermon Audio and he said, "Your preaching is an abomination to the Lord." And I thought, well, thank you, brother. I appreciate that. Oh, by the way, what spirit are you of? But, you know, I guess he just, you know, wasn't used to how, you know, used to the situation. But anyway, I don't know if it's because the age I'm at or just the connections that I have. But it's been interesting to see and to find out that, you know, I've got some brothers in Christ that are being challenged, you know, of recent when it comes to you know, health and stuff. Now, Dan, we remember everything that you went through, you know, earlier. Oh, my soul, aren't you glad those days are behind you? But Brother Doug Fisher, and again, forgive me, I can't remember if I mentioned anything about this particular thing. But, you know, he was 3 weeks behind me in getting a six-way bypass. And he's doing fine and everything. And all of a sudden, he has a stroke. In fact, a couple of them, he's got bleeding on his brain. And it's right there where the speech area is. And they got him to the hospital. And it's been a rough go, but he's been able to talk. And just kind of interesting. So they finally got a bed for him. We need to pray. We need to pray for him. He's on blood thinners like I am, like my wife is. And yet they've got to get in there and they've got to take care of that situation. So the guys that initially operated on him, they wanted him back at UC San Diego Medical Center. But there wasn't a bed. Well, praise God, one opened up yesterday. And so he is there. So we need to pray for that. And then there's a fellow by the name of Harvey Seidel, who is a church planter. You remember him, Lynn, Larry. Just this last Tuesday, same time. He's up in Wyoming. Now, he's 80 years old. But he had a stroke, and he was life-flighted to Casper, Wyoming. Praise God, he's home. He's doing okay. But I'm hearing about these guys, and it's like, wow, Lord, what are you doing? But hey, you know, it is the times that we're in. But anyway, like I said, I'm looking at some people that I know believe in prayer, and it really kind of struck me when Tim told me about his grandmother. her prayers have been a blessing. And he texted me on Tuesday, and this put me into tears. He texted me on Tuesday, and he said, my grandmother asked me two questions. And one of those questions was, how's your pastor? And I thought, oh my soul. You know, people that pray, when they're gone, they're missed. You know what I mean? I mean, again, you think of people that we had here before that were prayer warriors. By the way, it wasn't just Kathy Heyer. It was Bob Heyer as well. And, you know, their legacy lives on. You know, their testimony. And it surely is that situation when it comes to Tim's grandmother. So praise God. Praise God for that. By God's grace, I'm wanting to see the Lord do a great work in this series that we begin tonight. Now, we're going to be beginning, and then we'll have another night, and then there's going to be a few nights that we don't have a service, or we've got Mike Schrock preaching. But I just pray that we, when we hear these things, we go to the Lord. We have a holy God. We have a righteous Savior. We have a Savior that loves us. Aren't you glad for that? But He looks to us and He says, in every instance when He's speaking, and He's speaking to the church that He purchased with His own blood, He's saying, I know thy works. As a pastor, it burdens me, and it gives Satan opportunity to just throw darts. You wind up thinking about the places where you failed or where you fear somebody else has failed. But you don't remind yourself and rejoice in where you have seen victory, where you've seen God work. And so I praise God. I look at you all and I think, thank you, Lord. So, these series of messages are not on prophecy, as you'll see, but it's a time of discernment. Now, I'm going to be doing a little bit of an introduction tonight, and I don't know how far I'm going to preach. I'm still getting there. I have vitamins to take. By the way, if any of you have found a good source of some real vitamins, let me know. You know, let me know. There's one thing I have found. I came out of the hospital hating the taste of food, hating the smell of food. But then somebody gave me something, and maybe there's people here that you've discovered it as well. Somebody gave me something that tastes great, and you can drink it on purpose. It's called Boost. And it's absolute decadent chocolate. And it says it's got all kinds of protein in it. I'm going, praise God, I'm taking this, man. Anybody here, you ever drink that stuff? Do you? Okay. I drink it, and I'm still losing weight. Now, that's a good thing, I think. But, you know, hey, so, all right. Well, listen, let's pray, and we'll get into the message. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these dear folks. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to us. We are going to be treading ground of familiar verses. I pray that your work would be fresh in our hearts. Lord, we're looking to you. We see incredible times around us. And Lord, it's a time where I believe now more than ever, self needs to die. Christ needs to be evident. Lord, I pray that you would once again, and I think of myself most of all when I say this, Lord, help us to set aside the weights and the besetting sins. Lord, pride gets in there. Covetousness gets in there. And Lord, when I think of the things that Satan uses the most on me, to trip me up. I think of self-doubt, and Lord, that's wrong, because that's when I put focus on self. That's not where my focus is to be. It is to be on Thee. So Lord, help us to glean truth. Thy Word is truth. Help us to get a little bit of a foundation, rejoicing in the salvation that You have given us. And we will, Lord, glorify Thee, I pray, in our Savior's name. Amen. You know how sometimes you've read a place enough where you read a passage and you forget. It's like, wait a minute, I've got to back up there. It's like this last week I was reading in my devotions and I came across 2 Corinthians 10:5. And I was like, wait a minute, hold on. And half the morning I was focused on that one verse. You know, it just, Lord, I so desperately need help here in this. Keep your finger in Revelation 1. Go back to 2 Corinthians if you would. You ever do that? You know, I have to admit, for the longest time I was listening to the Scripture. I did that through the whole Old Testament. And then I did it through some of the Gospels, but then I thought, wait a minute. When I come across a place where I believe the Holy Spirit is trying to get me to meditate, I can't do that with Scorby all that easy. So I've gotten to where I'm reading it again. And so, you know, you open your Bible and you start reading. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And I stopped there. And I remembered something that I read years ago about shortening the arm of God. And I'm realizing there are times when ever so subtly in my life, I have read the promises of God, I've read the commands of God, but ever so subtly, I shorten God's arm with a simple attitude in my heart and in my mind. God can't do that through me. God can't do that through this church. God can't do that in this day and age. God wouldn't do that. God wouldn't use me here. And I read that, and it's like, oh my. Remember how we've talked before about finishing strong? I remember years ago, you know, 25 years ago, used to really just, you know, finishing strong. We had a book that we had gone through, Finishing Strong. And I find out that it's a lot easier to say than it is to yield to the Lord and do. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And instead, this is what we do. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So when it comes to our prayer life, when it comes to what God calls us to do, we're okay, folks. No matter our age, no matter our certain status physically, I have struggled. And Dan, I got to thinking about you, you know, when you were in the hospital, and I'm recognizing a little bit more, you know, how frustrating it must have been. And to think that you went through so much that you went through because you fell backward onto something. And it's like, oh, man, you know. Now, we won't talk about Roger when he fell and hit his head on the floor down here, but that's... But, you know, we wind up in these times where the Lord's got us, like He'd like to talk to us a little bit more, Larry, you went the same thing with your surgery, brother. You know, that was rough, wasn't it? It was. And I don't know how many others, you know, here there's been challenges and stuff. Let's go back to Revelation 1. So, you know, again, just like 2 Corinthians 10, I'm reading this again, I'm studying, and you read the first verse, the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not Paul that's talking now. It's not Peter. It's not James. It's Christ. He speaks. The revelation of Jesus Christ, where'd it come from? Which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. So here was a bond slave. It's the Greek word doulos. The bond slave, John, he's being used. But it's Jesus that's talking. And he has something to say. Let's continue in verse 2. Who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that, number one, readeth, and they that, number two, hear the words of this prophecy, and number three, keep those things which are written therein. For, once again, the time is at hand. Many years ago, I wrote down, and I'm not even sure where I got these notes. But in that verse 3, I wrote down three things. Number one, attention, what you read. Number two, retention, hear the words of this prophecy. Number three, intention, and keep the things that are written. This first verse is one that speaks to us of the greatest benefit. In stepping into the realm of the revelation of Jesus Christ, the Bible says we're blessed. That word means supremely blessed, happy, fortunate, well off. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear. The picture is this. In a public worship, this book is taken, and it's read. So there is somebody that is reading this, but then there are others that are listening. And they're listening to hear. Not just for information, but for confirmation and to obey. Now that's fascinating because we're opening up something that to some, it's a controversial book and it ought not be. To others, it's a mystery and we can't know a thing from this book, but we can. It's a book where we have instruction and it's time to embrace it. Now, I remember growing up, we talked a lot about prophecy. Again, like I mentioned this morning, I'm neither a prophet nor the son of a prophet. We have differing opinions on when Christ is going to come, etc., etc. But I do know this, the time is at hand. When it comes to what is said here, the time is at hand for us to live as Christians. That's what I want to encourage us in. By God's grace that we listen to the Spirit of God and we recognize that when we're out there, we don't know how the Lord is going to use us. I don't know if the Lord gave you an opportunity to be used this last week. We were, and it was such a joy with neighbors. But by God's grace, what we hear, we wind up seeing lived out. Jesus is coming. Are you glad Jesus is coming? Are you glad? You know, He's a sovereign God. Like we've said before, but there are people that need to hear this. There are people that need to understand the hope that is there. The world is not falling apart. It's falling into place. Our God, our Lord and Savior, has every bit of what's going on in the Middle East under His control. There is nothing that has snuck by Him. When it comes to our country, we're under judgment. We have a situation, a drought. And the Oregon-California border, I read this yesterday, the worst drought in the last 127 years. How many of you think that maybe God's trying to get a California's attention? Amen to that. Look at verse 4. Look at verse 4. We now realize we've got no greater source. We're peering into the present, yes, but then things to come. We've got no greater source for that. John to the seven churches which are in Asia. Grace be unto you and peace from Him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead. Yep. Jesus Christ died, and He rose again. And the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. I don't know what it's been that's really kind of triggered this, but, and maybe some of you, maybe all of you to one degree or another, you've been through this. You hate your sin. You hate sin, but you hate your own sin more than anything else. But you praise God that you've been washed from it. There's coming a time we're going to step through that veil. New heaven, new earth, new body, no sin. I love that. There's no greater source than Jesus Christ and what He's done. Look at verse 6. There's no greater gift. We just don't have a ticket to heaven. And hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. We reign with Him. By the way, we reign now. I'm just trying to lay kind of a foundation here, trying to get us to stop and to meditate and to think on Him. I don't know how often you wind up finding yourself do that. I don't, and this is not a brag, honestly. But I mean, I literally, there's mornings so many, I wake up praying. My heart just cries out, I need Jesus. But I've got Him. And you do too. And isn't that a joy to know? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, He said, so that we may boldly say, you know what? The Lord is my helper. And I will not fear what man shall do unto me. So then there's the writer. Just going to take a look at him real quick. I'm skipping some verses about Christ, but we'll be going back to that later. Look at verse 9, the writer, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation. You know, that's kind of interesting how he writes that. I mean, when you stop and you think about John, I mean, here was a young man, a guy who was possibly a teenager when he started following Christ. I mean, he is a saint. I mean, we're all saints. But this man had such a walk with the Lord. There was so much that he went through with Christ. He was called the beloved disciple. Here was a man. He was so there with so much that what Christ went through. He was there when Jesus was transfigured, when he raised the daughter of Jairus from the dead. He used to put his head on Jesus' breast and rest it there and speak to him. He was there when he was arrested. He was there when he died on the cross. In fact, some of the very last words that Jesus spoke, he spoke to John. He looked at him and he looked at his mother and he looked back to John and said, John, behold thy mother. And he looked at his mother, Mary, behold thy son. And that was it. John was going to take care of her. Now, people estimate for as long as 70 years or more, John has been serving Christ. And yet when he comes and he speaks, look again at verse 9. He says, I, John, who am also your brother, I'm one of you. He's not taking an exalted position. The man to whom God has come to, our Savior, is someone who could have boasted, like Paul, but did not. Not in the least bit. But he also said this, and your companion in tribulation. So here was a man that not only was a fellow servant, but also a fellow sufferer. And praise God for that. He was being faithful. He was put by Domitian, I think his name was, on the island of Patmos. He couldn't kill him, so he put him out there. And the Lord had it in his sovereignty to put John in a place where John could meditate, be by himself, pray and such. And one day, Christ showed up and said, John, I've got some things I want you to write. They're needed. They're very much going to be read in the future. But now, we go to this. Look down, if you would, please. Look at verse 17. No, verse 18. Jesus said, I am he that liveth and was alive, and behold, I am alive forever, and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And the seven candlesticks, which thou sawest, are the seven churches. Now this can be debated and such, and I don't want to get into that. But I believe that what is being shown here is the very personable relationship that Jesus Christ has with his church. We come here and we meet. And praise God, we have a time where we open up God's word. And personally, I hurt for churches that have come together, but they didn't sense what the Lord was seeking to speak to them on. And so they've drifted. We can drift too. But this lets us know something. Jesus comes, and he comes into local churches, and he says, I know your pastor, and I know you. I know everything about you. And when it came to these specific churches, he says, I've got something that I want to say. You know, as you begin to study these, as he writes to these churches, you can't help but stop and consider this. What would Jesus say to us? Now, he speaks to us, right? When we read his word, does he speak to you when you read his word? Amen? Of course he does. Of course he does. But then it's what we do with it. It's how we obey it. Now, please, follow me on this. I feel a little bit like this, that all of a sudden I woke up and it's like, wait a minute. There are some things that we need to take a little more seriously now. Fact of the matter is, we needed to take them serious in time past. But we need to realize, as a local church, if we are called by Him, and we are, we have a Savior. We also have a Lord. And there's a job to do. And when we think of job, I know we might think of things as like, okay, I got to do, oh man, I don't have that much time, et cetera, et cetera. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about living out the commands of the Christ who died for us and rose again. There is a place for us, and He comes and He gives us the power that we need. But let me ask you, what do you think the Lord would give you strength to do? What do you think He would? What would He write to our church? Now, this is where we wind up having a little bit of that spiritual warfare. Because Satan and his minions love nothing more but to cast doubt, to put in thoughts that aren't from our Lord. But at the same time, we need to allow the Holy Spirit to help us discern what is Christ saying to us. Now, like I kind of mentioned this morning, I'm amazed that sometimes people can get just kind of get scatterbrained. They can go out. I have relatives right now. They're out, you know, they're retired, you know, they're going here, they're going there, living out life like, there's nothing coming down the road. We know there's something coming down the road. Amen? So how does that make us live? This is what I wanted to do. This is what my desire to do. I wanted us to stop and ask ourselves this. Does it matter to us what the Lord thinks? You see? Does it matter to us what the Lord thinks? Not what someone else thinks. You know, I want people to like me. You probably are the same, you know, you're the same way. I mean, nobody starts out the day going, I wonder how many people I can get to hate me today. But at the same time, we recognize if we're faithful, there's going to be people that get upset. But what does the Lord think? What does the Lord think of us individually? What does the Lord think of our church? Now, we all have our opinions about our church. You know, we could do this, we could do that. And those things might be legit. But what does Christ think? He has put us in this place where we are surrounded by people that don't know Him. What has God called us to? And so this is what I thought again. We would go into these seven churches and we would look again at where God's people have struggled or they have been victorious before. And we'll listen, we'll take note, and we'll learn and discern, and we'll use that to look to ourselves. Where is my challenge? Lehman Strauss, in his book on Revelation, suggested that each of the seven churches that are mentioned here have a threefold meaning. Not everybody believes this, but to a pretty good degree, I do. I'm not saying that you build doctrine on it as far as, you know, the timing, but I think there are some areas that are worth taking note. There's a primary association, he said. Each letter was written to a local church that existed at that time. It had challenges. It needed to hear from the Lord. It needed to hear the Lord say, I know thy works, and here's what I have to say to you. Then there's a prophetic anticipation. Each of the seven churches depicts and portrays the church through stages of history. I think generally that can be said. It's not a blanket thing. It's not rigid. But there have been situations that have shown themselves to mirror the progression of these seven churches, which brings us to when we look at the church at Laodicea, to stop and consider what we might be battling. Now, there are other things that we would be battling. Just a thought. But then there's also a personal application. Because Jesus would say, he that hath ears to hear, let him what? Let him hear. You know, there are people that come Sunday after Sunday. Welcome, even this evening. And to one degree or another, we'll hear what the Word of God has to say. Just a thought. Now, I praise God. I think you'll hear well. But what it might be, you know, on a particular time, does it struggle? Do you struggle? Again, I got to bring this thing up. Lisa, I think it was you I was talking to about this brain fog thing. Any of you ever dealt with brain fog? Yeah. Oh, I'm telling you. Coming out of anesthesia, you know, and it's like you're trying to, did you go through this, Dan? Yeah. And, you know, you hear varying degrees of how much you're going to be dealing with it. I don't know. Maybe I've been dealing with it for 60 some odd years now. I don't know. But, you know, I would find myself seeking to read and study, you know, and it's like, come on, Rogers, you know, focus, focus. And it's like, Lord, please, you got to help me in the study. You got to help me when I preach. I want by your grace to be able to do what you've called me to do. And let me tell you, I know I was teasing about, you know, it's Roger's fault. No, it's not Roger's fault. You want to get back, you know, but I know, you know, it's easy to overdo it. But I'm looking at the times. And so just praying that God would help out. But the Lord said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Boy, I want to hear him now. More than ever. I want to hear him. Because the times are more demanding than ever. And family situations. And church family situations. And the need to discern and to do what is right. And I know that some of you are feeling that exact situation. So this focus is on Christ and his church and what he had to say. Is it important? Well, yes, because Christ purchased the church with his own blood, Acts 20:28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves, Paul said, to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. I'm looking at people that God so loved that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave him, he shed his blood, and you believe. And I have a responsibility. And we have a responsibility to each other. But the important thing is this. Jesus Christ paid an incredible price for the local church. Colossians 1, Paul told the church at Colossae, and he, Christ, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things, listen, he might have the preeminence. Can we do this? Let's walk out of here. Forget any superfluous things that the pastor says. Let's walk out of here with this attitude. Jesus reigns. He is preeminent. Our God and Savior rules. He is my Lord. Can we walk out of here with that? If we don't, then Lord help us. He purchased the church. He's head of the church. As Paul, in using the family, the natural human family, said in Ephesians 5:23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. And then to the church that he purchased, the church was given the Great Commission. We always think of Matthew 28. Jesus spake and said, all power, literally all authority, is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So there's much that we need to share with the world, with those that we give the gospel to. It ought to be very important to us. It ought to be very important to us what Christ saw to be very important to himself, to him. And so the Lord comes and he says, Faith Baptist, I know thy works. If you're willing to listen, this is what I would like to say to you. This is what I would like to point out. Some of it might be a little difficult, but I want you to know something. You don't do it in your power. I love you. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. You'll find my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And oh, by the way, and you'll have rest for your souls. But I want you to understand, I know thy works. I have some things that I would like to say. By God's grace, let's listen. Amen.